31 degrees in Lynchburg, 32 in Bedford, 27 in Danville, 39 in Salem, 36 in Roanoke. And that is why we can't be do Facebook Live for
nope.
the show.
Nope.
So
what just happened? Yep. In the last 7 or 8 minutes.
So people
Trey was here for most of it, too.
He was.
He left just in the nick of time.
The listeners wanted to know if he was still in the doghouse
yeah.
over the whole Cowboys Washington controversy. But apparently.
No, I think he's okay.
He says he has a big screen TV.
He's got a 55-inch in his.
And a Roku, so he's good.
So he's good to go.
That's
he can,
right.
He can get snowed in, and it won't matter.
Oh, I think they enjoy their little.
Yeah. Oh, she was delightful.
She was
on the air. So. I hope she calls in again sometime.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun for sure. Well, lots of talk going on about the snow that's coming this weekend.
Yeah.
It looks like we definitely are going to see that.
Yes.
We're going to be talking to Matt Ferguson tomorrow as we get closer to that event to try to find out exactly what to expect. It looks like the highest snow totals are going to be west of Lynchburg
okay.
and lower east towards Richmond and Raleigh. They're saying as much as 10 inches.
Yeah, and
do you think so?
I
mean, it is supposed to start Sunday morning, and it's not supposed to end until Monday morning.
Yeah.
So I guess that's possible.
This is why Matt gets paid the big bucks to be our weekend weather guy. Since all the weather seems to happen on the weekends.
They're saying that that Martinsville is going to get more snow than Danville.
Huh.
And Danville will get more than South Boston.
Okay.
And they're saying a 10-inch range, especially west of Martinsville,
mm-hmm.
and decreasing to 2 to 3 inches in South Boston.
Okay.
We had a listener who said that where his son lives... They
right.
give a milk and bread forecast.
Right. So,
okay. Like the worse the storm is, you
right.
know, you associate more like a
how many loaves?
This is a 2 gallon, 3 loaves kind of storm.
Right. Okay.
What would you say? What would
oh,
you say
if,
this
if,
is?
If
it's 10 inches, it might be a 2 loaves.
If I am putting it in the context of Central Virginia and the way they react to storms, this could be a 5 loaf with a 3 gallon.
No, no,
but
no.
But it's probably more like a loaf and a half a gallon.
Well, we're not if it's 10 to 20 inches.
Well, I mean, okay, if you've got a big family, you're going to need a couple loaves and a gallon.
Right.
But for two of us, a loaf and a half a gallon would be fine.
Hmm.
I'm just saying. Because we're going to get out after a couple of days. It's not like we're going to be snowed in.
Yeah.
You know, lest we have Dale call us from Huddleston and say, I'll tell you what snowed in is 8 feet.
Now, look. If my trees start coming down, it's going to be a different situation.
Right. No, you're right. When the trees come down, we had that.
Yeah.
I told you, when I went up to Northern Virginia looking for a car, we took a lot of back roads to get to
Honey, I need a chainsaw for my car.
Well, you knew you would have needed 2 chainsaws the way the trees came down on 64 and all these 683 and all those state roads up there. I mean, there was still some parts of the road, and this is almost a week. Well, it was a week later. It was one lane.
Mm-hmm.
You can only have one lane, so it was interesting.
Bear texted in, said the commercial said, "Cut your carbon footprint, omit beef." Is this a declaration on cow flatulence? Listen, the commercials on this radio station do not necessarily reflect the values of these two hosts.
I say
eat more meat, but that's just me.
You heard our Joe Biden promo yesterday. More, more, more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oof.
Hey, we got Alan on the line. Hadn't heard from him in a while. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, guys. Hey, looking at a truck driver, but, you know, it is what it is. But,
yeah.
Right.
Men actually don't look forward to snow because we're the ones always cleaning the cars off and shoveling the crap. So. But, you know, anyway, there's this. But, hey, I was listening.
Uh-oh. Do we lose him?
We lost him.
They're talking about Hillary versus Trump in 2024 and how likely that scenario is going to be. And I'm hearing it all over the talk radio, too, that Hillary is weighing in. And also, Republican is going to tell Trump not to run. So,
well,
this one?
You know, and who's going to tell Hillary not to run?
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's...
So that's the scenario that we got sitting up, I think, that everybody's talking about this week.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you. I you know, as much as I say I don't want it, it would be fun to cover, but I just don't. I don't know how much our country can take of some of these policies that they pass, because you know that if Hillary was in the White House right now, that this Build Back Better would be getting passed. I believe she would be. She would have Joe Manchin in the White House, in the Oval Office, showing him pictures of his grandchildren, saying, you know, it'd be awfully a shame if something happened.
I don't know, Mark. I don't know about that. I mean, she's kind of a war pig, like, you know, like some of the other and all of them.
Right.
But, you know, she would probably get us involved in a war. But, I mean, Biden's approval rating with independents, what Bill O'Reilly said, was he's down to like 12% with independents. So Hillary's already raising money.
Yes.
And if Hillary gets in, you know Trump's going to get in. And what, like I said, what Republican is going to tell Trump not to run?
No, I don't think there are any. You know, it would be an interesting race. I just don't know if the country can handle it. I think we're being stretched. Our fabric has been stretched.
It would not be good for us.
Yeah, there's got to be more
It'd
people.
Be good radio though.
Oh, yeah. it would. Oh, the sound bites would be. I'd be loving it. I'd be up late every night putting sound bites together.
If we had a show left, if we had an economy left,
yeah.
You know, yeah, true. That's the thing.
If Trump wins, the economy will come back just like Jimmy Carter and Reagan. You know, like Jimmy Carter was sucked. I mean, we've seen this movie before. Jimmy Carter sucked. I was eating loaf bread for hamburgers, you know, back in the 70s. And then Ronald Reagan come in, and I bought a new car when I was 19 years old. Mm-hmm. So we saw this movie before.
Well, And thank you for the call. Be safe out there. We've seen the movie before, but I just don't like the sequel. That's my problem.
Right.
That's my problem. We got another call on the line here. Dale calling in from Huddleston. Good morning, Dale.
This is Doug Dale.
Oh, Doug Dale. Doug Dale. Dee Dee.
Doug Dale from Huddleston. Gotcha. I heard you revoking my name, and I could not allow that without rebuttal.
Well, I revoked it or invoked it or whatever, took it back. Because we've had eight feet of snow. I have film, because when my mom passed, I inherited all the 8mm films, you know, and had some of them converted.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of them literally is my uncle standing up, holding up a shovel. Now, this was two storms that hit, one right after the other, holding up a shovel, you know, and the snow was just under the actual shovel part. It went all the way up the handle. We had like 12 foot of snow at one point because we got dumped on. This was like one of the biggest storms growing up in the 60s, you know, when we were experiencing global warming and all that back then. But that's real snow. That's where you really get snowed in.
Well, I think it's on about a 70-year cycle, so that's going to be coming back soon.
Yeah, true.
My dad, before I was born in the 50s, was an excavator. He always had stories about in the 50s, when the snow got so deep that the plows couldn't push it,
right.
They'd hired local excavators and bulldozers to push it off the roads. The plows would push as far as they could, then they'd push it out into the field one after another. And he always had this story about how he was pushing snow behind a friend of his at the bulldozer in front of him, pushing out into the field.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, his bulldozer disappeared because it fell through the snow.
Oh, Lord.
And they just left it there till spring because they couldn't get it out.
Get it out.
So much snow.
Well, you know,
a bulldozer.
It's funny. My dad had a small John Deere dozer. He loved that thing. He always had a smile on his face when he was running it. And there is some of the video at my grandpa's house where he's pushing snow with that bulldozer. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the 60s and 70s, I had beagles, and we had a run in dog houses. We kept them in outside, and you'd get some snow and you'd shovel a path to them. And then by about December, the path, you would literally walk it so I could tell. And I have pictures of food to my kids. They're like, oh, yeah, sure. That, like you said, it would be 6-7 feet tall. You'd be walking through more of a tunnel than a path.
Yes.
I mean, I never had it that deep. But mm-hmm. I've literally had it when we first moved to Virginia mm-hmm. in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it broke through up to my thigh.
Yeah.
Like because there was ice, and so you could literally walk on top of it.
Sure.
And then if it would break through, you'd be up to your thigh in it. So.
We had a storm like that. I remember I think in high school, and it was the only time that my parents kept me home from school because of weather. we had 11 inches of snow and then about a half an inch ice on top of it. You could walk on it. You could not break through it.
Yeah.
They had school still that day.
Yeah.
The buses, most of them did not get home. They stopped at a local, about a mile down the road, a Catholic church opened their doors, and about five or six buses stopped there.
Oh, wow.
Kids stayed there, and then people would ferry them home on snowmobiles up and down the road, because the only thing that went down the road was a snowmobile.
Wow.
Wow. Crazy.
Well, you were talking about, real quick, the Hillary,
yes,
the Hillary thing.
Yes, yes.
You're not going to have to wait for the election. You know what's going to happen.
Somebody's going
to
die.
They're going to 25th Amendment
oh,
Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
That puts Harris in.
Right.
She picks her VP. That's Hillary. Then she 25th Amendment Harris.
Okay.
And that's how you
wow.
get her.
Wow. Oh, so you're talking about a possible House of Cards scenario. Once Harris gets
sure,
in,
well,
she's suspiciously.
Watch that show, but okay.
Well, yeah, I don't either, but I only could get in about a season and a half. It's too much treachery. But anyway, there's
you
a way.
You won't have to be elected that way.
Well, that's right. She slides right
by
in.
Harris.
Well, because mm-hmm. Harris somehow becomes, you know, deathly ill.
Somebody said, no, that's how Nancy gets in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a possibility, too, but oh, I don't know which is worse.
Hey, Dale, thanks for the call, bud.
Hey, when we come back,
yeah.
a story out of Lynchburg
uh-huh.
where a teenager was trying to save her pets from a fire.
Oh.
We'll have that. And how can you protect your pet if there is a fire? We'll be covering that in just a couple of minutes.
8:17.
The Morning Jam. Sometimes naughty, sometimes nice. Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping. And I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
We got the nicest note from one of our Come to the Table winners.
Okay.
Talking about how she had shared her Come to the Table winnings.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was really nice. Don't forget that you too can get in on Come to the Table Tuesdays just by texting us or commenting on that that Facebook post. So
awesome.
We love hearing from people. It's really nice to know how you use those, and
sure.
And we're excited about doing that, and we do appreciate the sponsorship of that. So we've got a story out of Lynchburg that was pretty dire. This happened last night. A teen ran out into the streets of Lynchburg calling for help because her house was on fire and her dogs were trapped inside.
Yeah, Lynchburg firefighters were at the scene where the flames broke out, smoke coming out of the two-story house on the 1300 block of Hendrick Avenue. Sharon Stranger and her husband say they had no idea what was going on until the scared teen ran to their house. So
she didn't have any shoes on.
Yeah, just banging on the door, no shoes.
Yeah, said her dog was in the house. She was mm-hmm. afraid that the dogs had burned up in the fire. Said her house was on fire, but the firefighters came and they saved the dogs.
Yes.
They don't know what started the fire, but...
Right. And these houses, when you look at the picture, the houses are kind of close together. So
mm-hmm. yeah, that
can jump
gone,
from one to the other.
That could have gone wrong quickly.
I tell you what, these firefighters, you know, they earn their due, let me tell you, when they get in these situations.
So if you have pets, and we both do,
mm-hmm.
do you have the pet alerts on your door?
Pet alerts.
There are stickers that you can get.
Oh, to warn people?
That says, in case of an emergency, please
okay.
save my pet.
Oh.
Like if you're not there.
Right.
And it gets called in.
Sure.
And you can even mark, you know, if you have dogs or cats, how many you have,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. You can even order a pet safety pack from the ASPCA.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had one.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have it on the door. I mean, just in case.
Right.
Even a neighbor, if something's going on, you can let the dogs out.
Mm-hmm.
But you mark how many you have, and it's got your phone number on it and everything. I've put a link to that on our Facebook page.
Okay, good.
So if you want,
I haven't heard of that before.
You can go and sign up, and they'll just mail you this little packet. Mm-hmm. And it is free. If you want to make a donation to the ASPCA, you certainly can. But it says, in case of fire or emergency, animals inside, the type of pets I have, cats or dogs, how many of them, and then a phone number that they can call you if something happens. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's a great
thing. You're an animal lover.
I'm just wondering if there's like place there for additional comments. Like, my one dog will probably try to bite your ankle.
No, you don't want to put that on there. Then they might not. I suspect if the house is on fire, even Oliver will be easy to get along with.
Okay, good.
And thankful.
Yes.
You know. And you can buy those stickers too, but you can get it for free from the ASPCA. Yeah. So go to our Facebook page and get that link and just click it, and you can fill it out, and they'll ship it out to you.
Awesome.
So kind of a cool thing there. It is Thursday. That means it's Life Hack Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for one?
I'm hacked off already. Go ahead.
You're hacked off already?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. I don't know about that. So one of the things that I've learned about recently is going into your laundry that's already clean.
Okay.
And cleaning it.
Wait a minute. What?
I know.
Cleaning clean laundry?
You're pretty much cleaning your clean. You would be amazed at what is built up in your sheets,
Your
towels, that type thing. It's called laundry stripping.
Okay.
And it gets out a crazy amount of yuck out of your clothes.
I don't know. This is one of those things I don't know if I want to know.
Laundry stripping is a little addictive, I'm telling you. You don't see it, but over time, your towels, your linens, they develop a buildup of body oils, detergents, and things like that. Laundry stripping is a deep cleaning process that gets all that out.
Right, like dander and all that.
Yeah,
kind of
It's and it's a little addictive to do. It's.
I'm sorry. I don't think it would be for me.
It might be if you saw it. It's you're basically soaking your laundry for several hours, and then you toss it into the washer and dryer.
Right.
And it's pretty easy to do. Okay. But if you see what came out of your sheets and your towels, you might be wanting to do it. Perhaps even seasonally. It's just a seasonal thing.
Right.
I find it very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
I also do this with my whites. There's a product you can get called Out, and I'll soak my whites in there. And you don't realize how yellow your whites have gotten until you do that. So this is the recipe. Are you ready?
Okay.
You're going to want 1/4 cup of borax.
Oh, this is a five and dine on the side.
It is. 1/4 cup of borax. Borax, 1/4 cup of baking soda, basically, and then 1/2 cup of a powder laundry detergent like Tide or something like that.
Sure.
If you have particularly hard water, you might also want to put in Calgon.
Okay.
So
take me away.
Well. Although Calgon's kind of hard to find right now.
Is it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
So you'll want the Mule Team Borax, your Arm & Hammer. You can buy like laundry Arm & Hammer. It's baking soda, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Just put baking soda in. That's what I do.
I got you.
And then you let it soak. And I'm telling you, you would be amazed at what's going to come out of your sheets and your towels.
It just sort of sits at the bottom.
Yep. It does. Mm. I'm telling you, it's rewarding. It's very rewarding.
Well, I mean, you're walking around with cleaner things and sleeping on cleaner sheets.
That's right. I'm going to put, is there a laundry pole involved with the stripping?
Oh!
No, there's not.
Holy cow.
You know who that came from?
Probably Randy.
Randy. This is why you haven't been pardoned again. So I put this life hack up on our Facebook page. So
it is
a good thing to do seasonally, I'm telling you.
I'm just going to share a quick story about soft water.
Okay.
My son, I loaded all the pellets in his thing for him because he can't lift anymore. And so I put 2 50-pound bags down in this huge cylinder thing that helps them with their hard water.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with soft water that I have found is that you don't want to use a lot of soap because It feels like the soap never comes off your body with soft water.
Yeah.
It takes more soft water to make you think you don't have anything else on you.
It's
amazing.
It's amazing how little detergent you waste when your water is soft.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to adjust to it. Imagine how much longer your laundry detergent, your dish detergent, your shampoo, how much longer it lasts because you just don't need that much of it.
Well, I just...
Glass half full, sir.
Well, it was half full, but I felt like it was half full of soft water.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't... It was weird. It feels weird. It just feels weird.
We're used to hard water, though.
Right. Apparently, I have hard water at my house.
Mm-hmm. So you might want to put in a little more... I'm going to send this to Kara. Kara will appreciate this life hack.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure she will. You may not appreciate it. I probably won't. But, yeah. Leah says, why can't you put these ingredients in your washer as you wash your clothes? I guess you can, but for me, it's a more deep, by letting it sit for hours, you get all of that out of there.
Yeah, it just sort of...
A wash is just going to be a quick thing. It's not going to do the deep cleaning that soaking it
would
do.
It's just like soaking anything else before it kind of tends to make...
But I mean, a lot of people use borax, and I think borax is a great... product. But if you're wanting to really do a deep clean, consider just try it and see what happens, see what it looks like.
That's our life hack for Life Hack Thursday for you. you can feel like you're a lot cleaner now. I'm feeling better already just talking about it, but I don't want to do it. It is 8:31. CBS News Brief is coming at you. And then Kimberly McBroom with some local stories from WBBJ. And Janet and I will have a couple local stories. Of course, the weather being a big deal, it's in our forecast for the next 72-plus hours. It can really hit us hard beginning on Sunday morning. We'll talk about that coming out of the break.
And some of our listeners are loving it. They are excited.
Yeah,
32 degrees in Lynchburg, 33 in Bedford, 36 in Roanoke, 37 in Salem, 29 in Danville. It looks like we are going to have one of those winters.
Yeah.
So it would seem.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we are either going to get the snow or we get nothing.
Right.
There doesn't seem to be any middle ground. It just seems
this could be our year, the way it's shaping up, maybe. In a positive way, if you like the white stuff. I know we were hoping for it at Christmas. We didn't get it, so. All I know is my in-laws are in. My sister-in-law really wanted to see snow. I don't know if she's wanted to see this much snow.
And there's even, check with your churches. Looks like some churches are going to be having Saturday services instead of Sunday services.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, ours has already said we're going virtual for the weekend.
So
we're all going to use Zoom. I hope that all is a stable platform for everybody to check in, but I'll be sipping my...
We shall see.
I gotta get some whipped cream. That's right.
Excuse me?
No, I gotta get whipped cream for church. Because I am known as the whipped...
That seems a little weird.
I know it does.
Okay.
I am the whipped cream king. When they know Mark
what
comes...
What do you put whipped cream on?
When I go to the cafe at break, because we do our worship music.
Right.
Then we take our coffee break. Then we have the sermon. And when I show up there, no matter if I'm ordering decaf coffee and or hot chocolate, it is towering. It literally has almost fallen out of the cup. They put so much. Oh, this one's for Mark. And if you're new in the cafe.
So you have it, you get coffee with whipped cream?
Whipped cream on my decaf. I don't use cream. I'll just get it black and then I stir it in after I, eat half of it. So I will have a can of whipped cream.
You're a little kid trapped into
a
big kid's body.
This is what's going to happen on Sunday. If I'm on Zoom, I'm going to be having my hot chocolate, and I'm going to overdo the tower of whipped cream, and I will sip it so people can see me sip it during the break.
Okay.
They know that I'm okay and I'm breathing.
All right.
Anyways.
some local stories here for you this morning. A 10-year-old boy was grazed by a bullet after a shooting in Lynchburg. Wednesday morning. The police say it happened around 1:30 in the morning on Grady Street in Lynchburg. A neighbor said they were lying in bed watching a movie, was about to doze off, and they heard a pop, pop, pop sound.
Huh.
The this person lived just a few houses away from where the shots were fired. I was trying to determine if it was the movie or not, or if it was real.
Right.
A couple minutes later, I heard popping noises again, and then realized it was not a movie. He couldn't believe the neighborhood he grew up in is a place where a little boy would be grazed by bullets. Says it's terrible for anyone, much less a kid. Medics treated the young man at the scene. Thankfully, no one else was hurt. He says he's expecting his first child in a few months, and he says things are going to have to change around the Hill City if he's going to stay and raise a family there.
Yeah.
Says it's unsettling. Now I have a choice about where I want to settle and have my kids grow up. It's tough for me because this neighborhood, like I said, when I was a kid, I never experienced anything like it. Other neighbors are worried as well. One person said, my lady just says she wants to get more house surveillance. We have motion lights, but that's all. We really have never thought about that kind of thing. But now it seems like we need to. Yeah. And then, of course, they had the doorbell camera.
Yeah. The Ring camera, yeah.
They haven't made any arrest. The incident's still under investigation. And they say if you know anything or if you have a doorbell camera, you're encouraged to call the Lynchburg Police Department. So did this happen outside the house? That's what it sounds like.
It sounds like that's the way it
happened. Like a drive-by something?
I'm
telling you, we are getting way too many of these stories.
Yes, we are.
Out of Lynchburg. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Well, this one goes a little bit beyond the Lynchburg area, but it's I think it's a kind of a fun story.
Good. We could use that.
A robbery suspect has fallen on hard times after he tumbled off a small cliff into a ravine, running away from law enforcement after stealing catalytic converters.
Oh, dear.
According to the Chesterfield Police Department.
This is going on everywhere.
Mm-hmm. The department identified the man they caught was L. Branch. Police say there's another suspect who is being unnamed at this point, probably a minor. According to the officials, the two were stealing the catalytic converters from vehicles in the Boulder area, Midlothian. That's right outside of Richmond. Approximately 10:30 p.m. or earlier in the week, the department says their own captain, Tim Tehoe, who is also, this is funny, they get a commercial in here, that Tim Tehoe, who is corporately sponsored Ironman triathlete, was working off duty at another job that he does. Yeah, he says he noticed some suspicious cars in the parking lot and decided to check it out when he heard the sound of an electric saw. You know, the Sawzalls, the battery-powered Sawzalls. That's how they cut these things off, and they can do it in a matter of moments. He went over to see what was going on, and then the guys, saw, hey, this is trouble. We're being caught. They decided to run. Next thing you know, he's falling off this little cliff. I hope he had the catalytic converter in his hand. I hope he ran away in the extra, because these things are heavy, because they have ceramics on the inside.
Ah.
That's how they filter all the bad stuff out. So I'm hoping he had, it's a 30-foot drop.
Ooh.
I hope when he landed, it hit him in the head or something. That's terrible.
Did I just say that? That could kill you, a 30-foot drop.
I'm sorry.
Good.
He's alive.
You have been very naughty today.
It's the whole
Your
thing
language
that happened.
Has been naughty.
It happened at Chick-fil-A. That lady in that van just
pulled got, the pulled the
She
pin.
Pulled the ripcord, man. I'm telling you what. Don't get in my way today.
Wow. All right.
Anyway.
Well, it would seem that that Governor-elect Youngkin is going to have to hit the ground running this weekend.
Yeah.
Northam's office is drafting a state of emergency order for Governor-elect Youngkin to declare in case a winter storm is one that warrants it. Looks like Northam's office is leaving the order for the incoming administration to prepare. An aide for Youngkin says that his staff has requested briefings on the upcoming inclement weather. How refreshing.
Yeah, somebody wants to go to work even before he has to go to work.
Since the last one, he did not declare a state of emergency until 2 days later.
Yes.
So there's that.
I-95. Yeah, I got a call from Senator Kane saying there was a backup somewhere on I-95.
My goodness. So... Of course, this article said Northam did declare a state of emergency in advance of a winter storm. Yeah, but it missed the Commonwealth.
You sure?
Right, exactly. And he didn't call one for the one that hit the Commonwealth. So here's hoping Youngkin will have more luck with
let's
that.
Let's keep it in the Governor Northam vein for a moment.
99% sure of who the man is in the blackface pictured in that now infamous yearbook photo. But his comments are adding confusion to his initial admission that he was pictured.
8 News reporter Ben Dennis joining us live after hearing from the governor's office about this latest twist. And Ben, what have you learned?
Eric and Deanna, the governor weighing in just days before he leaves office on this high-profile scandal that marred the initial months of his governorship. But tonight he continues to deny he is pictured in that racist photograph that prompted leaders to call for his resignation.
I can tell by looking at it.
99% sure. That's Governor Northam's confidence level in who he thinks is behind the racist blackface appearance seen on his 1984 yearbook page. An end-of-term interview with the Washington Post details his new belief. The governor reportedly said the person's name is very close to mine, alphabetically, and was also in that medical school class.
On.
The admission is a complete about-face from his original stated response. Flashback. February 1st, 2019. I am deeply sorry for the decision I made to appear as I did in this photo. Here's a video message the same day.
That photo and the racist and offensive attitudes it represents does not reflect that person I am today or the way that I have conducted myself as a soldier, a doctor, and a public servant.
Anyway, we'll stop it there.
Ridiculous.
Why would he even allow that to be brought up? I'm going to spin another little web of lies before I leave.
Why would he do that?
His name was Ralph Southernan, not Northamnan.
Ridiculous. What a ridiculous thing to
do. I know. This just...
I can't even believe that.
I think we'll eventually know that it was him.
It was him. He admitted it was him. Everybody knows it was him.
Right.
And still, you somehow managed to fall into a pile of crap and ended up coming up smelling like a rose anyway.
Right.
But what do you do at the very end? Let's lie about it.
Right. It does not make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. But this guy hasn't in so many cases.
But he is giving his final State of the Commonwealth address.
And you're pretty darned excited about that.
Oh, cannot wait.
Don't let that door hit you on the way out.
No. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Janet might even make you a meal. Give you some Godfather meatloaf. Send you on your way.
Yeah, really.
It's time for Janet's 5 and Dine on the Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes, and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
See, I'm thinking more along the lines of maybe a dessert inspired by the movie The Help. That might be more along the lines of what I would like to do. Okay. Oh, rude. All right. 5 and 9 is brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're located on Memorial Avenue in Lynchburg, cutting and grinding fresh meats every single day. Be sure to sign up to be a VIP customer, and you can save even more money off of your bill as well. And make sure you pick up some ground chuck when you're there, because you're going to want to make today's recipe for sure. Now, I've heard this called Godfather meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
It's also called Sicilian meatloaf, and it is delicious and lovely enough that you could serve it for company very easily. It's a really fun take on meatloaf. Mm-hmm. You're going to start with, of course, a nice quality ground chuck. You can also use venison if you like ground venison. That works well, too. You're going to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Heat some olive oil in a skillet, and then you're going to add in some onion and red pepper. Saute that for about 5 minutes until the onions are translucent. You're going to add in some garlic and cook that until the garlic is fragrant, and then remove it from the heat and let it cool slightly. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to start mixing up the magic. Add your ground beef, your Italian breadcrumbs, Parmesan, eggs, some tomato paste, salt, pepper, parsley, and that sauteed vegetable mixture.
Okay.
That's going to make your meatloaf. Mix it just until everything's combined. and then you're going to take a sheet of parchment paper and you're going to lay it out on the counter and make a rectangle about 8 by 15. All right. And you're going to, this is going to be kind of like a jelly roll. Mm-hmm. And you're going to need 2 pounds of burger to make this happen.
Wow.
All right. So you're going to form a rectangle and then you're going to put in a layer of Sicilian ham. So you're going to want to put a layer of that that deli ham on there, a layer of basil, and then a layer of your shredded mozzarella. Then starting at the small end, you're going to roll up the meatloaf, jelly roll style, using the parchment paper to help guide you. Press down on the top seam, and then put it on a bake sheet lined with parchment paper, and bake it for about an hour. Remove it from the oven, allow it to rest about 10 minutes, and then you're going to get these beautiful slices. You're going to serve it with your spaghetti or your pasta of choice down, mm-hmm. put your marinara on it, set a beautiful roll of that Sicilian meatloaf on top of it with a little more marinara, and it is a delicious meal. Trust me, you're going to want to try this one. Go to Facebook, type in Janet's Five and Dine. You'll find this recipe and all the recipes that we share brought to you by F&L Market, where their meats are a cut above.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I come from a long line of Southern cooks, and one thing my mama always told me was ingredients matter. That's why I trust the experienced butchers at F&L Market, Lynchburg's only locally and family-owned independent grocery store. Their staff cuts and grinds fresh meats daily and will offer you the personal service you desire for everyday meals or special occasions. This week at F&L Market, save on all things sirloin. Whole sirloin tips are $4.99 a pound. Sirloin top roast, $6.49 a pound. And family pack boneless top sirloin steaks, $5.99 a pound. You'll also save with the Lux Bean Sale, 10 for $6. Covered wagon bacon is $32.95 for a 10-pound box. Become a VIP Savings Club member by texting FL Market to 833-605-1804. Stop by F&L Market today, 2517 Memorial Avenue, Lynchburg. Their meat is a cut above.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
It don't come easy. It don't, for sure.
Yeah. Depending on what you're talking about. That's true on multiple levels. Feel-good story coming out of Tahoe, California. A dog that went missing in August during the Caldor fire evacuations.
Oh, yeah, I remember the fires, yeah.
He's been missing since August.
Wow.
He was found on December 16th. The dog was in the snow. Mm-hmm. It was so deep he was unable to move.
Right.
He was growling at the people who was observing him. He was in a 5-foot snow.
Right.
It's a miracle that the dog had survived that long.
He survived, yeah.
Volunteers suited up with snowshoes and dog rescue equipment and a sled. The dog was tracked up the mountain and eventually found under a tree. At first he wasn't moving, but eventually he opened his eyes and lifted his head. They were able to place him on the sled and on top of a volunteer so he could be warm and be calm.
Wow.
He was immediately turned over, taken to a veterinarian, where they found a microchip in him, and it led to an owner in Riverside County.
Mm-hmm.
When contacted, the owner said Russ had gotten scared and ran off from his owner's vehicle while he was in Tahoe for a job in August. The owner made a report to Animal Services, but he was evacuated with the rest of the South Shore due to the fire. Mm. Russ and his owner have been reunited.
Wow.
He was well enough to make the trip home.
That's cool.
And all is well.
That's cool.
That's a good, that is a feel-good story.
That is. Wow, that's, yeah.
So.
If something ever happens like that, I hope I'm able to get my pup back.
Well, you know, I had two pups that were stolen, two beagles, Trapper and Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
They were stolen. And we got them back 6 months later.
Yeah.
They escaped and they got back to us.
I think dogs they see the stars. I think there's some kind of a...
They just know. They know where home is.
Built-in tom-tom.
I don't know what it is, but yeah. But they just, mm-hmm. they know their way. Their way home, and yeah. it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, it really is
to see that.
It really is.
We've talked about this on the air before. Would you buy a house that you knew somebody was murdered in it? Is that something you would do?
Depends on how good of a deal it is and how nice the house is.
Depends on how violent the murder was.
Well, the Los Angeles home that was made famous by the 1984 slasher film A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, okay.
It comes with a guest house.
Yeah.
It sold for almost $3 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
The house was Nancy Thompson's home, and the exterior shots in the Wes Craven horror classic sold for $2.8 million.
Wow.
It was listed for $3.5 million shortly right. before Halloween.
Right.
Well, so that trend of overselling, of selling for more than you're asking, didn't work there, did it?
Jeez.
The listing said the home terrorized by Freddy Krueger has had its interior redesigned before being sold to in 2013 to the director of Hustler.
Oh, gee.
Wow. Let's imagine for a moment that interior must look like. I'm picturing a lot of leopard print.
Cover those funny scratches in the wall with leopard.
I don't know that I would want... a house decorated by somebody who's the director of Hustler, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Inside the guest house was made famous by a comedian who filmed his pandemic themed special inside the domicile. So I don't know that I would want to live in the Amityville Horror House or the Freddy Krueger house.
Constantly people driving by pointing at it. I mean, you know, just like...
Probably.
Where did my front porch light out again? No.
No, it's just the Amityville
Horror
house.
No, I don't think so. I'm not. I mean, there's people that thrive in that kind of stuff.
Right.
I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
I just want to stay away from that.
Well, I think the people who own the Amityville Horror House, I think they changed the iconic windows to look like something else, which was probably smart.
Yeah. See, I can't even tell you what they look like because I won't even watch those movies.
You would know the Amityville Horror House if you saw it. It's been shown so much, I think you would know it.
I recognize the one from Psycho.
Right.
And, you know, I can tell you what Herman Munster's house looked like, you know. And I can tell you what, you know, go back to the Green Acres. Those are the happy homes that were a little run down that I could tell you about. That's going way
back.
Yeah,
this is the Amityville Horror House.
That's, I'm coming over.
This is the house.
Oh, yeah.
See
barn roof thing going.
Yeah, with the windows now. Again, they have changed that, they changed it to like just plain plain windows,
like
which
the,
aren't nearly as pretty.
The Brady House, you know.
Which isn't real.
I know.
They did remake it to try to make it real, but it's like they couldn't even make it look like the interior exactly
right.
because of the shape and everything.
I love that staircase. That was the cool modern looking house.
Yeah.
In the Brady house.
And it would still be cool, I think, now.
And I would give, what was the
I'll probably never own one, but if I could own like a mid-century house, I think I would like to live in one.
Get Alice over there cooking the meals.
No.
Alice, we're going to take
Alice,
out...
get out of my kitchen.
Alice,
that would not work for me.
Alice, we're going to remodel the whole kitchen. We're going from the 60s to the 022s.
Getting rid of the orange counters things.
Yeah. Probably plastic laminate.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll have your Friday funnies. Of course, we'll also keep an eye on that storm that's coming.
Sure will.
Matt Ferguson is going to be joining us tomorrow. And we've got a couple of interviews lined up for tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Nonprofit Friday we'll have tomorrow. We managed to get a hold of Libby Fitzgerald, and we're going to talk about the green meters tomorrow that we talked about yesterday. So that's going to be a fun story to do tomorrow. So, yeah, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. You know, stay with the station. We've got a lot of good programming that takes you out through the day. On the Roanoke side, we've got Brian Kilmeade's show, and then here at 100.9, we have the Hugh Hewitt show coming on after us. Make today awesome. Janet, it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, we got to go by Aldi's and see if there's anything left on the shelves.
Good luck. May the odds be forever in your favor.
And then a quick stop by F&O Market to see, because they probably, have the meats that we need.
Yeah, they do, for that Sicilian meatloaf.
Yeah, there you go. See you tomorrow.